that song. We don't sing it here real often. I was just thinking of many years ago. Let's just go ahead and keep singing it or playing it. Making a comment here. It's all right. We used to go up to Sunset Mountain every year, especially early on, you know, the first few years. And a lot of times people would ask us, what are you going up there for all the time? It's just a place. I realize that. But it's a special place. I remember that one time I went up there and it just kind of under a heavy burden. I don't know if other people go through those things, but I was burdened for the message. As I was saying this morning, we were looking for something to happen, and I thought if Elijah was to come out of the wilderness, I wouldn't mind being up in the wilderness when it happened. Well, I know there's a lot of people that might laugh at you, think maybe you're a little wacky or crazy, but I believe it. I believe it then, I believe it now. Remember, I walked over toward the, kind of toward the west. There's a kind of a cutout where the whirlwind came down. And that song came on my heart, this one. And I got to singing that song, then I got to crying. I was kind of walked off by myself. Got to crying. You ever got to crying uncontrollably? Where it just seemed like that the whole insides of you was going to come out, and you're weeping? Spiritual dreams, sometimes that happens, and sometimes spiritual things that take place cause that to happen. And I remember singing that song, and I've never forgotten in my heart that feeling of just hang on. Just keep hanging on. Confess what is true. Build your hopes on things eternal. And in its due season, God will bring it to pass the way it's supposed to happen. So let's sing that song again, if it's all right. I love that song. Oh, let us hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, let us hold to God's unchanging hand. Unchanging hand. You believe that this evening? Isn't that kind of nice to know that if God said it, and we put our confidence in what He said, no matter how impossible that it might seem to the human way of thinking, sometimes it seems like things go on out in the world where this mess that's going on never ends. But yet if we put our hope in things that are eternal. As I said a while ago, in God's season, in due time, God will bring it to pass. Well, let's sing that little chorus of light. Sing that one you was playing a little earlier. I look away across the sea where mansions are prepared for me. It's the other Beulah Land. There's two Beulah Land songs. I like both of them. Got an in-depth study tonight. I hope you're in the right frame of mind to talk about it. I never get tired of talking about it. It's obvious. I could talk the horns off of Billy Goat probably. But we've got something to talk about that has some value. After all, it is expressed or conveyed in words the things that God has tell us. I'm glad He gave us that. I'm glad that He did call ministries to kind of stand in the gap. It is a job, you know, to stand in the gap. To be of service to the people and to be of service to God. I can't think of any greater thing that a person could ask for. I know a lot of times, a lot of people likes to be a lot of service in a lot of ways to a lot of things, but to be of service to God, to me, is the highest order that you could ask for. This message, I talk about it a lot, don't I? This message, what a unique, what a privileged, specialized contact that God has given us between Himself and His redeemed people. I couldn't thank Him enough. I don't think there's human words to be able to glorify Him in the way that He deserves to be glorified. And every chance I get, I want to be guilty of magnifying the Lord Jesus. A little point that might be of interest to us, or at least it is a point of truth that may not come across in the way that we have thought about it in every area, but you can't really be thankful to God without being thankful for what He's done in our day. Now, I'm glad, I mean, in a sense, as far as distantly related, I'm glad of what He did in all those other ages. But those other ages are gone. We're not living in Moses' day. We're not living in Abraham's day. We're not living in Paul's day. We're living in another day. I am convinced that we're living in a time and a day like there never has been. A little song that Philip sings from time to time, there's never been a day like this day. There's never been a time to shine as there is in the time that we live in. Can you just imagine, you're in Moses' day, they was kind of in just one kind of centralized place on the face of the earth, out in the desert place, and didn't have computers and internets and cell phones and all the things that we have. You say, well, they're inventions of the devil. Well, it could be so, because it was the intellect of probably satanic influence that brought those things into being, like the H-bomb and some of the other weaponry that they have. But it can be used. It can be used if we use it right. It can be used, just like Paul used the Roman roads that were built by their intellect in that day. In fact, the Roman roads were actually built for the Roman armies to march on, so that they could get from place to place quickly to keep the Roman Empire in the status that it was in. But God allowed that to be used also for good, that Paul could travel from place to place with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to use what God's given me, the tools that God's given me, I want to use them in a right way. I want to use them in a way, at least for the better part, I want to use them in a way that will bring honor and glory to Him. Don't get it very often. I thought I would mention it to you this evening, and just talking and kind of pulling things around. I really like this. To me, this is a real testimony, and I don't know that the brother that said these things would ever be on the hookup. I don't know. I'm down in Africa. The first time that he came into the forum is mostly a challenge. Almost everything that we said, he'd challenge it. Oh, God, why'd you tear me apart? It made me feel pretty bad, because he's constantly on my case. And in fact, I thought about just kind of getting rid of him. I have a little button that I can push on the forum that I can get rid of people. You know, you put them on, what does he call that? The bozo. Put them on bozo, and what happens, they can't get into the forum, but you can see what they say. I thought about doing that, but I just thought, just let him go, maybe somewhere down the line. Look, different cultures have a different way of saying things. They have a different way of putting things, and even in their understanding, it has to be said in such a way so they can understand trying to say. Brother Steve, we got so frustrated. Along the way, I thought, I just can't take no more of this brother, this guy, I called him. Then all of a sudden, one day, just recently, he said that he was an ambassador for our forum. And I thought I was misreading it. I thought I was reading it wrong. She read it, that's what he's saying. Talk to Steve about it. Yep, that's what he's saying. Brother Michael, he said, I'm an ambassador for this forum after fighting so long. And now makes the statement that, that that return ministry where Brother Rem said, I'll ride this trail just once more. He said, that's got to happen sometime, someplace. That wasn't my conversion. That was just, you keep putting the word out there. Just keep saying it, because my way sometimes is probably not very gentle. Sometimes I'm pretty flat. I realize that. But you know what? If there's a seed there, don't matter how you say it, if there's a seed there, that seed will receive that word. Thought so many times out that the Lord Jesus, and I've said this, I probably even mentioned a few things about it this morning, and I know I did Thursday night, and on back about the ministry of the Lord Jesus. How that God anointed him and geared him, gave him, God gave that physical body a personality. Not another person, but gave that body a personality. And from my experience, the Jewish people are very kind of rough for the better part, especially those that are kind of religious. You don't want to tell them they're not God's chosen people. They'll tell you where to go. They might even use words that you don't like to hear. They believe they're God's chosen people. I'm sure that when Jesus started out on his ministry, he did start out pretty easy, didn't he? You know, he said, love one another. Talked about the Lord's Prayer and all the nice little things that went on. Then all of a sudden, he began to move into the stage that he was called to fulfill. And he began to kind of pick at them. Did he? Come on, you've read your Bible. I hope you have. He kind of began to pick at them a little bit. And they began to get angry at him. It was the words that he spoke that got him killed. I believe that with all of my heart. And I believe that can happen. And there's not that you just run around trying to be mean, but sometimes God can use that to see what we're made out of. And I believe that if we're the seed of God, the word is what matters. I know many times I never forget standing as a young man and talking with Brother Branham at Faith Temple Church when he came, he showed up there after the seals were preached. Had a little record that was about 20 minutes long. Some of you probably listened. It was called Discerning the Lord's Body. If I say it enough, maybe some of you get curious and listen to it. Very short. Made back in the 50s. Oh, my. It's a cooker. I mean, it's a pressure cooker. And I told him, I said, we've got that little record, and everybody that came to my house, I didn't have many friends, because everybody that came to my house had to hear that. If they came more than once, especially, they had to hear it. And I played that little thing, I about wore that little thing, a little red clear, you could see through it, a little record. It was a 45 RPM record, and that was a long time ago. Most of you probably don't even know what a 45 RPM record player is. I know the kids don't. Now, some of us old ones kind of remember that far back. Some people used it to do the Tootsie Fruitsie or whatever it was, but we used it to play Brother Branham's records on. And I told Brother Branham, I said, oh, Brother Branham, I said, I love that. I love that. He looked at me and he grinned. He said, that's a good one, ain't it? And I thought, why is it, if it means so much to me, why can't it mean that much to everybody else that hears that? It's truth. And all he did was he just preached holiness. He wasn't in any deep doctrinal truths like we study here particularly. He was just preaching holiness, just preaching about how we ought to live and how we ought to be before God and attitude toward the things that we should have believed as basics back then. Made me feel so good when he looked at me and said, that's a good one, ain't it? Made me feel good. Because I knew that from my heart, I really loved it. I knew that from my heart, if nobody else in the world wanted it, I did. I meant that. I meant it. I was just a young man, just like anybody else, kind of a little hot rodder. And I have to believe I was driving a 59 Chevy with a 348 with tri-power and on the floor shift and all the things, you know. But I love that word. And I've grown to love it more than I've ever loved it in my life. The more that I've learned about what the prophet taught, the more I've loved it. Has it changed a bit? In fact, it's increased. Now that's real love. Been a lot of things happen along the way. We talked about some of those things this morning. Been a lot of experiences. Been a lot of disappointments. I've been through a lot of things, and I've seen God move on the scene. I've seen God help me, and I've seen God whoop me. I mean, I've had some real spankings along the way. But I've had some good things, too. I remember being in a court trial one time. Somebody was taken to court on it. It was a custody case. And I watched the Spirit of God come into a place and tell that man through the judge's mouth that I'm going to give you that boy. He said, if you don't want that woman having visiting rights, you just say so. I've seen God do some mighty things and see the lawyer that stood up to try to attack. He was a very learned lawyer, very expensive lawyer, and saw him stand up and try to come against what was said they was challenging. They challenged that young man on the basis of a return ministry. I'm here to tell you. I was there. I saw it. I saw what happened. That young man was challenged on his belief of a return ministry. And taken to court here in the Phoenix area for it. Then was told just a few weeks later by the lady that was challenging that, actually told that lawyer what to challenge that young man on. And that lawyer was killed in an awful accident about 3 weeks after that. He said there wasn't enough pieces of him left hardly to scrape up. You don't do that to the Word of God. It had nothing to do with that young man. It had to do with the Word of God. And God lets people know along the way that He stands with His Word. And I believe that if God stands with His Word, then why shouldn't we stand with Him? Not a hard thing to do. It's just a decision. It's that simple. Just a decision to be made. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean that young man was perfect. It just means that he had a determination in his heart that he was going to do the best he could to stay with what the prophet had said. Oh, I've watched it. I know he's real. Doesn't matter how many demon spirits come along and try to tell you that, well, you know, those things just happen or God don't care for you. I know better. God cares for you if you'll stand for His Word. Because somewhere down the line, if you stand for the Word, God will stand for you. Let me tell you, in this day that we're living in, we need God to stand for us. There's coming a time not too far ahead when this whole government system is going to come against people that believe like we do, that hate homosexuality, that hates filth and corruption, that hates crooked government systems, that hates almost everything that's going on in the government today. And they're going to come down, and probably, we don't know exactly how far we'll go into it, but it'll probably be a little uncomfortable. But we've got another promise. We've got something that lays out there that hasn't come into effect yet. We have something that God told us was going to happen that's going to get us out of this place. When the pressure comes on, when the squeeze comes down, He said then that third pull would come into its full manifestation. That means no matter what the devil does, we have a hope. It's not something I can bring to pass. I've wanted to bring it to pass every year for 50 years. And I wanted it to happen this year. Still haven't give up. Still believing it could. God can do what He wants. I believe that He's got a little time span. That's one thing that we have learned by studying this message. That God has a little time span. He even gave the Catholic Church a time to repent. A time span. Gave her a space of time to repent, but she wouldn't do it. He gave Cain, as we talked about this morning, a space of time to repent. But Cain couldn't do it because it wasn't in him to repent. But you know what? We have. I said, we have. We've confessed our faults. We've been buried in the name of Jesus Christ. We've done all that we can, or at least we want to. How many here desire to do all that God bids for you to do? That's why we're here tonight. And let me tell you something. In that, when you're pressing toward that mark, that prize of the high calling, there's grace, a lot of grace that goes along with it. A lot of grace freely given. Now he's here. I want to pray for you, Sister Sarah. And mainly for just spiritual strength. You get weary, so weary. Now you're a pretty strong young lady, but you still get tired pressing, don't you? Weary sometimes, wonder, Lord, do you really care for me? You believe that tonight that he does? Sure. I can feel that set up. Raise your hands. Hallelujah. He is here. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just ask that you would give spiritual strength to Sister Sarah, Lord. She's made a commitment in her life. Thank you for that, that you've already given, for the power and strength that she's already received for the journey. But Lord, we ask, through the name of Jesus Christ, that there would be strength that would come. Hallelujah. It would come from on high, Lord, in a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Let that seal of God, let that seal of God fall upon her, Lord. She desires it, and we ask that it would. And let there be a confirmation in her heart and a determination that she's never had before, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody say, praise the name of the Lord. I love to see somebody blessed. I get blessed when I see somebody else blessed. It ought to be that way. How many of you get blessed when you see somebody else get blessed? Thank you, Jesus. It's just strength. I feel such a strength. There's not a devil in hell if you just make the right choices. There ain't a devil in hell that can stop it. Not one. They don't have the power to stop just confession to what God has said. If she could, she'd be here every service, praising and worshiping God. What you need. Same thing she needs. Well, I know he can give it. Now look, we're old veterans, and sometimes we get kind of crusty. When we get crusty, we just go through kind of motions and without really having what we need inside here. But I believe that God can give it. Sister, would you do something for me? When I pray for you, and when we're finished, would you throw your hands up and shout praise the Lord? That's going to be hard for you to do. Very difficult for you to do. But sometimes, being turned inward like that, sometimes hinders us. Bible says whatsoever things you say, if you don't doubt it in heart, you can have it. And I want you to say it. I want you to say it out loud. That's just on what... You can do it. Give me your hand. I feel something set up. See, I just take it. It's like an instant something. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Hallelujah. You believe that to be the Spirit of the Lord? Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Jesus. She needs a little time of comfort. She needs something from above, Lord. No human being can meet that need but Jesus Christ and Him alone. And we thank you for, Lord, you confirm your word with signs following. Let us reach out, Lord, and confess what we believe. Let it be an open testimony tonight in the life of our sister as we say together tonight, Lord. Let's say praise the Lord together. Come on, say it loud. Praise. There you go. Hallelujah. Amen. Got to break out of that shell once in a while. Somebody say praise the name of the Lord. Pouring down. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, amen. What a wonderful feeling, Lord. I don't know how else to say it. because it does work on the five senses. Lord, I pray a blessing on our sister just watching her grow leaps and bounds and understanding. I know sometimes it's hard, Lord, to make a comparison to where we've been to where we are now, because we're just mortals. But there's one thing about it, Lord Jesus, we know that there's been a change in all of us. Hallelujah. We know that there's spiritual growth. We know that there's a maturing process that's going on, and I pray that it would continue above all things. And give her wisdom, Lord, in the things that she faces at home and the things that she faces from day to day. Give her wisdom to be able to face it through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. Grant it, we ask for your glory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. Thinking while I was singing, I thought, well, you know, there's part of that song that's not just exactly right, so I don't know how I could change the song. I'm not going to try to, but we're not going to live over there. But there is a beautiful land, a place that we're going to live. It's a place where we're sitting, at least I hope we are. I feel it right here, right now. It's a heavenly place, right here on the earth. God's going to bring heaven and earth together. Do you hear me? He's going to bring heaven and earth together. The only thing that he's got to do is change this earthly vessel to where it can be a place that he can live in the fullness that he desires to live in it. Bye. I love him for it tonight. Look, he chose us. We didn't choose him. I don't like that bumper sticker that said, I've decided to follow Christ. We ought to put a bumper sticker together, at least some kind of sticker together that said, I'm so glad he chose me. Nah. I'm so glad he found me. Is he discouraged? Is he down? Well, we all go through it. I'll tell you what. We have a God that can visit him where he's at tonight. How many of you believe that? I believe that God can visit him tonight and pull him out of that. You know, you're not old. Most of you that ain't old enough to know how that depression tries to set in her heart. It tries to come on you. It's a spiritual force. Now, I don't mean to say anything bad. It's death that's working in these mortal bodies is actually what it is. It's a symptom of death working. I know what it is because I know that I have to fight it too. But greater is he that is in all of us than that is in the world. We believe that with all of our heart. So I want every one of you to agree together with me that God touched Brother Demi there. I know that he'd want to be here and sitting and listening and learning. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, bring Brother Demi before you and asking, Holy Father, that you would be an encouragement to him. We all need it, Lord. We understand, Lord Jesus, that even through those times there is that need to have a touch from above. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would do that for him. Granted, I pray, Lord, at least before this night's over, that he can be rejoicing in the things of God. Granted, I pray. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you say, praise the Lord again? I like that. Praise the name of the Lord. Glorify the King. By our hearts, Lord Jesus, we are so thankful tonight for your mercy to us. We confess with our lips what we have been told by your word, and asking that you would increase our faith. There's not a devil, there's not a power anywhere any greater than the power of our Lord Jesus working through his own promised word. We can just excel and gravitate to that place that we will rest on that word no matter how we feel. Got to come to that, Lord. It's got to come to that no matter what the circumstances are. Anything that happens, may we be found standing with the words of life. Grant it, I pray, through the name of Jesus Christ. Now, fathers, we study and taking this little aspect, probably just another 30 minutes or so, on this great time that's mentioned in the scripture of about a half hour of silence. There's a reason that's put in there. Thank you, Father. We believe that you have allowed us to be able to see what the prophet was talking about when he mentioned it. Help us, Lord, to expound on it in a way that will help us to understand and make us more comfortable with the time that we're living in and what we're going through. Grant it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Appreciate again the good music. It takes on another sound. I don't know how to explain it. It's like it goes up a notch when the Holy Spirit comes present. And I love him for it. So thankful that he would even come amongst us and let us know that he loves us. I appreciate him for it. What a mighty God that we serve. Now, Brother Nathan's on the ball tonight and got it already projected up here. I want to background just a little bit and pick up where we left off this morning. You know that we believe, all of us, usually I try to remind us from time to time of certain elements or of God's nature. But God don't put something in the Bible for nothing. I remember, and I'm sure that you probably have gone through times in your life, especially on the book of Revelation, and some of the things in some of the other prophetic books of the Bible, that still sometimes reading in the book of Daniel, there are things that I can't put together. It's just, they're there. In one place it'll talk about 1,290 days. Another place it'll talk about 1,230 or 1,260 days and just different days. And it runs it together. And I don't know what all of it means. I don't know what it means when it says, blessed are is the person that comes to the 1,200 and some odd days in one place. I don't know. I've even wondered, this is not doctrine. It's just things that have been puzzles. It's still puzzles. There's still mysteries that are in the Bible that have not been revealed as yet. And I've even wondered if some of those visitations that some of those people had, and Daniel called him a man. I don't believe it was Brother Branham, because Brother Branham has nothing to do with the Jews. Nothing. He is not Michael. He's not Gabriel. And the angel that came to him, I do not believe it to be Michael or Gabriel. If those two angels are sent to the Jews, to Daniel's people. Now, we know that much. But sometimes they'll talk about a man standing on the banks of the river and so forth like that. And you're thinking, well, does God sometimes allow a person to come from the other side and appear and tell somebody something? And so somebody might say to me, well, you know, that's communing with the dead. Well, not in every case. Because Moses and Elijah came from the other side and had a conversation with the Lord Jesus on this side, and the disciples saw him, and that wasn't considered communing with the dead. So if God has a special purpose in doing something, that's his business. But I'm saying that there's a lot of mysteries that are still laying there in the Bible. And a lot of things we don't know. But there are some things that we do know, is that everything is put in there for a reason. Now, whether God reveals it to us or reveals it to the Jews, if it's something specific to them, he has a right to do that. There will be things probably that happen under the ministry of the two witnesses that we're not privy to at this time within the framework of this message, because it's things that don't even pertain to us at all. The only mysteries that I know of that pertain to the Jews that we are supposed to know are the greater mysteries, such as the coming of the two witnesses. That's written in the book of Revelations, by the way. And that little book was promised to be revealed to the bride. Is that true? Specifically, that little book and the things that are contained in. But it didn't tell us that every mystery that's in the Bible would be known by us. Does that sound odd? Looking at faces here. All right. But here's, in this particular part, we want to try to again tie the half-hour silence, which I believe is a... We're going to be reading. I told you I was going to do quite a bit of reading. I'm going to try to get into that tonight. But I mentioned this morning, and I think, I don't remember exactly the question that you asked, Sister Barrios, a while ago. It would have been a good one probably to ask out here. If you can remember what it was, do you want to ask it again? Okay. All right, there was a little, maybe I didn't make it clear this morning, and I thought it was a good question, and it opens up, it'll open up an area we can talk about this evening. And here where it says, then come at the end, I said this morning, and it's what I believe, that end is the seventh seal. But let's look at it in a broader perspective just for a minute. As we also tried to bring this morning, that seventh seal covers a time period. It's a set amount of time. I can tell you when it begins. Now, I can't tell you when it ends. But I can tell you the circumstances that it ends under. And we don't know. I can't project and say it's going to happen in April, the 5th or the 6th of April. In 2016 or 2020, I can't do that. But we know that the Bible tells us the circumstances within the framework of this time that will happen. We know that it happens under the seventh vial. We understand that the seventh vial happens under the time umbrella, the time frame of the seventh seal. We also understand the first vial happens under the same time frame, which is the end. Now, if I say the end, I can say the end, and there can be many segments of time in that time frame of the end. And our understanding of the seventh seal is that there are multiple ends under this end. You could say the end of the world. We are living in the time frame of the end of the world. But there are a lot of things that have to happen before the end actually takes place in its final form. And that's why that's what the seventh seal is. It is the ending of all of the events that were prophesied in the Bible that pertain to the plan, God's plan of salvation to both the Jew and the Gentile. So that's what the book of Revelation is. It is the day of the Lord. It is really, it is a prophetic setting or prophet. I'm trying to get the word right here. It is a prophetic utterance or a written form of the events that will take place where the seventh seal starts, and the seventh seal being also the beginning of the descending of the Lord Jesus for his second coming. It's all seventh seal. So it had to have a starting point, didn't it? And Brother Branham makes it very plain to me. He said the Lord began descending at the time of the breaking of those seals, which we call the shout. Now, we've actually, just in the things that I've said, we've laid out enough terminology, I guess would be the best way to say it, to spend weeks on. Because every one of them fit within the time frame of the seventh seal. The adoption, all of the things that we're looking for that have to be completed before we can go. I want one. This body change thing's really eating on me. All right. So we said, then cometh the end. And that end the day of the Lord. It begins the breaking down. It's just like if you start in a journey. If you start on the last, the final leg of a journey, there are several events that still take place before you get to your destination. And that's what the seventh seal covers. And as it is saying here, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Now that sounds like two people. We've been through this time and again. Do most of you understand basically what that is saying? Is there anybody in here that does not kind of have an idea of what it's saying here? What if I ask you as an individual? It's very important because it sounds like that there's two people here. Sounds like one is in control and he gives up control in order that another person might take the control. But that's not what it's saying, yet it is part of what it's saying. Let me just condense it, okay? Would that be all right? Condense it. Right now, God is in a form that is not his original form. Now, that form was in him as an attribute, which he, Brother Branham said he desired. God desired to be a father. He desired to be a son. And he desired to work as Holy Spirit, a Trinity. Actually, the triangle or the Jewish star is those. It's that triune manifestation or attribute of God. So he desired to be that. So he was father to the Jews. It was God way up yonder somewhere. Father to Abraham. He was father to all the patriarchs down to the time that he called them out of Egypt and brought him out into the wilderness. He was God above him somewhere, fearful, unapproachable. And he did it on purpose to display that attribute to where it showed respect for a father. Total, absolute. God demanded respect so much so that when he came down on the mount and they roped it off. Why did they rope it off? Because if somebody crossed that barrier, they died. It was awesome. He's just a father got up there somewhere. Then he came in the form of a man, and he became Son of God. God, you say God became his own son? Yes and no. Anybody want to explain that to me? All right, everything that anything that becomes visible had an author, a God over it. I think that's pretty simple. It couldn't be a manifestation without having a God. Jesus had a God. Now, it was God in him. Jesus couldn't have come into existence without it being a word from God. So it was a creation of God. It was God made into something. That's what he said. He said, I send to my God and your God. And he did. He went back to being that. Then under that dispensation, after he finished his work, and I'm trying to condense this down. If I raise a question, that's what your hands are for. Because we want to be sure you have kind of a grasp of this sequence of events that unfolds, God fulfilling his own attributes to us, for the people, so that we can understand him, so that he could be all those things to us. Not only is he that, he's husband too, you know, to the bride. He's king. He's Lord. There's just so many things. A lot of attributes, you just wear the thing out talking about. He's all those things. He desired to do that. So he had to, or he did, I guess that's all right to use that terminology. God had to create the circumstances whereby those attributes could be displayed. If you're going to have a birthday for one of your kids or some kind of a celebration, you have to create the platform whereby the attributes that you want to display can be expressed. It works that way in almost everything that we do. So with God, it's no different. So God created a body A body hast thou, God, prepared me. And that body was made with a human, as much human as any human being could be. It was, we know it was, it was as much human as Adam was, and Adam didn't even have a belly button. Adam didn't even have a mother or father. I mean, in the physical sense. See? So we know that Jesus, being a creation of God, he was the second Adam in the sense of representation. Actually, I should say the last Adam. I don't like using that word second because of some doctrines that go on trying to make Brother Branham the third Adam. And that's not true. See? Jesus was the last Adam. We don't need no more. The only thing that we need is a bunch more Jesuses. We don't need any Adams. He failed. Oh, all right. So then God came down in human form to pay the price. There had to be a penalty paid for all the mess that mankind had not only gotten into. Way back in the beginning, man got into the mess, but he didn't get himself out of the mess. In fact, the mess got worser and worser and worser until you couldn't even explain it in Arkansas English. It got so worser. It got bad. So Jesus came to pay the price, the total price, for every sin that ever was committed or ever will be committed by those that accept that atonement. Then he ascended on high. He gained, God actually gained unto himself a victory and a crown that he did not have before he came in the form of Jesus. One of the places I believe the two Lords folks get it all warped out of shape is that they're trying to say Jesus was another person. Well, if he was, which he's not, but if it was as they are saying, he's the one that did all the work. And he's the one that deserves crowns, so that would put him higher than the Father. Because he's the one that actually earned it. But we know by revelation that it was the Father in him. There had to be something that could perish. There had to be something that could pay the penalty. There had to be something that could shed his blood. And so God made a body. And that blood, God lived in that blood. So it became the blood of God. There's not a complicated, when you look at it through the eyes of the Holy Ghost, when he anoints it, you just see it. You don't have to figure it out. You just know. If somebody's got blood, Brother Michael, it ain't you living in her blood. She lives in her blood. Now that sounds crazy because it looks like she's sitting out here. But that ain't really her. I just thought I'd let that one work. What you see out here is not really you. It's a projection of your problem. Manifestation of something that you don't want to stay being, I hope. The real you is in that. It's trapped in there. It's subjected to the corruption of this that we're looking at. Ooh, and that's terrible, isn't it? Y'all bunch of corrupt people. Me too. Because death reigns in that mortal body. We understand that, don't we? We're not saying you're bad. It's just the real you's not the one sitting out here. I sure wish there'd be a whole bunch more real you sitting in here. We'll talk to you about this. Alright, so when Jesus ascended on high, what did he do? If he came from God, from being, state of being, he came from spirit. Now look, just stop a minute. Sometimes people, they, in projecting these things, like our two Lord people, they project that Jesus came down from heaven, that he pre-existed. Well, if he pre-existed, what did he pre-exist as? Well, what would be there? He couldn't have pre-existed as a man because he became firstborn down here. So if he came from being spirit to man, was he before he became a man? Then if he wasn't a Holy Spirit, then what was he? And if we've got two Holy Spirits, see, it gets crazier. And yet those people are caught, there's a spirit, you know that. There's a spirit that goes along with that, and that spirit blinds their eyes just as much as it blinds the eyes of a total unbeliever out here. In fact, they are in worse relationship to God and His truth than the man that's never heard the truth of God's Word before. That's harsh, but that's the truth. They are just as lost. There's not a human being that walks the face of the earth that's any more lost than a person that teaches that Jesus is not deity. My question would be very simple. You can't be saved, can you, without believing in the deity of Jesus Christ, because it had to be the blood of God. That's what it says in Acts chapter 19 or 20 chapter. It says it was the blood of God. We believe that. Then what did he do? If he came from God, he came from being God, Holy Spirit, to be man, made flesh, just like the pillar of fire was God made manifest. God in a cloud, God in a pillar of fire, God in the form of a man wrestled with Jacob, same God, another manifestation. Then what happened to that body, like with Melchizedek? That body had to go somewhere. It came from God. And we understand, just looking at it in the simplest of terminology, it came from a state of being. It came from a non-manifestation into a form of manifestation, and that manifestation was expressed. It was the attribute of God hidden in a human vessel. Look at this Melchizedek. I love this. Look at this Melchizedek. He talked about the God of Abraham. Blessed be the God of Abraham, like out yonder somewhere. But he was the God of Abraham. Yet, the God of Abraham wasn't the flesh. Yet it was. It was God made into a flesh being. Not born flesh, but created flesh. No differently than when he appeared to Abraham on the plains of Mamre. There had to be a body. He ate, he drank milk and ate the calf that Abraham had his servant go out and kill. It was God, almost beyond, God created that the ability or the possibility that flesh could come into being through procreation of an animal, and then God came down and ate it. Figure that one out. It's just all the same God. Manifold, multiple manifestations. He could be 5,000, 5 billion places at one time and still be the same God, manifesting himself in different ways all at the same time. He's God. It makes you wonder if some of these people really believe that God is omnipotent or omnipresent. They use those big words, but sometimes when you begin to question, they say, oh, how could that be God being here and being over here? And sure he can. He can be all those places at once. As many times as we've used the expression how that God was visible upon the mount in the form of a fire coming down on the mountain, thunderings and lightnings and stuff like that. And at the same time, here he was dwelling between the cherubim in the Holy of Holies. The same God, if one of the priests that wasn't a high priest would have went in there into the Holy of Holies, he'd have fell dead. So God was there. If the man would have been out of his place, and then here was a cloud outside above it. Here you got a fire on the mountain, a cloud hanging over the tabernacle, and inside the same God in three forms all at the same time, same person. Why, it might mess up the mind of a person that's blinded by the devil, but it doesn't blind the eyes of a predestinated seed of God. They just look and see him. They can say, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Yes, sir. Don't you love him tonight? Get a little sidetracked, but I think, how can you talk about God without talking about God? You talking about God here? You talking about God everywhere? You talking about God the same yesterday, today and forever. All right, so this end, my, we'll get to it one of these days. Then cometh the end where he delivers up the kingdom. After, when he ascended on high, what did he become? He said, I came from God, I go back to being God. Let me read this. I thought I had it here. I may not. So that I can... Just give me a moment. It's just us tonight. I've got it sitting right on top there. It's a half a page. And it says that one right there. Back to God. I like these. Let's read what a prophet said. And this is one that we've used probably 100 or more times in the past couple of years. And it's one that is despised by people that claim to believe this message. Can you just imagine? They despise it. And let me put my eyes on. I haven't got my body changed yet. I'm working for it. As I said, I've been on back order for too long. But it's going to be in his season now. Remember that. So this is out of the Church Ages book. It's strange. Isn't that strange why that Church Ages book is there's things that are written in there that are despised? Now, it's despised by two large people, and it's despised by other people that aren't two lords, but it's despised. As a man told me, he said, I don't need no old Church Ages book. I said, well, I sure enjoy it. You may not need it, but I like it. It's one of the best books that I could think of to give to somebody that was interested in what we believe. I couldn't think of anyone. Now, a lot of times we hand out the little booklets. I know we used to. But I have found that the Church Ages book, if you want to know basically to have a good, solid idea of what we believe, that is the book. If they won't read that, you're not going to teach them anything else. If they can't see that book, they ain't going to go nowhere. All right. Jesus said, I came from God and I go back to God. John 16:27-28. That is exactly what happened. He disappeared from earth by the way of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Then Paul met him on the road to Damascus, and he spoke to Paul and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Paul said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. He was a pillar of fire, a blinding light. He had turned back. So that means he changed his form. Brother Branham used the word also morphe, or to change his mask. He had gone from being a physical. Now, I don't. Some of the brothers trying to make this fit to make sense are saying that he's in a body up there sitting in a chair, and he's down here all at the same time. Well, if his spirit's not in his body, we got a problem. If your spirit's not in your body, you got a problem. In fact, I think that would probably be the best qualifying statement to make to explain what death is. When your spirit leaves your body. So if Jesus has got a body up there somewhere and his spirit is here on the earth, we got a man up there that ain't got a spirit in his body. I know some of them are saying, oh, well, he's got his spirit up there and down here too. Well, it don't make a bit of sense. There's not a body called Jesus up there in a physical form. Now, I could say that there is in a sense. You want to hear that sense? The lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. It's there, but it's not in physical form. Now, if Jesus went back to being God again, he went back to Holy Spirit form. Then he came back on the day of Pentecost under this auspices of this time of Son of God. It was still God, but not his Father. Yet he is our Heavenly Father. You can never take that from him because he's always been that. But he's expressing himself as Son of God in order to bring in people. people under that I'm trying to think of a real good word to make it easy. There's a dispensation to where he draws in people under that terminology. And all at the same time, now remember, it's not just sonship. It is also the calling of a Gentile bride that's going on through all seven church ages at the same time. But the main manifestation is Holy Spirit, Son of God, that he's bringing in sons, because the sonship never ends. Brideship does. I thought, does that strike kind of harsh? I hope not. There will come a time that God is not wooing a bride anymore. And the position, the permanent position of the elect, that's why that I like the word elect, because it covers all of it. But the permanent position of the elect of God is what? Relationship, isn't it? Son, I will be their God and they will be my son. That's for the total inheritance. That's everything. When the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven, from God, it won't be bride per se, because the bride is newlywed. And then there's the time that she's manifested kind of in the form of a wife sitting with him in his throne in the millennium. But it's still sonship too, because it has to be the auspices of son of David. We're going to get into some. See? So there are several things that's going on at the same time. Certain aspects of the manifestation are under sonship or son of David. And then other parts of it is still like the bride, not the bride, but the wife of God sitting, queen, sitting on the throne. Yes, brother. Say there is no such thing as the eternal Son of God. Maybe I'm not hearing. Yell it just a little bit louder. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, the Trinitarian form of eternal sonship is wrong, but there is an eternal sonship. How could Jesus be slain from before the foundation of the world if there wasn't an eternal aspect? Our eternal life has an initiation or a time that it's manifest, and has a time that manifestation ends right here. But yet there's an eternal aspect that never had a beginning. Look, in the mind of God, everything, it's not a state of beginning. It's not a state, it's there. Sonship was always in the mind of God. Jesus was in the mind of God before the creation of the world is thought, so it's eternal. In that form, there is an eternal sonship. Remember we said God, we call the word desire, he in the attribute in God was to be son, eternal. It was an eternal thought. But it is not eternal in the sense of its manifestation. There's a time it comes into being, and there's a time that it ends. Same with us. We always were sons of God. In his mind, we were sons. Well, that didn't have a beginning. But yet a son has to have a beginning. I thought. How many's getting what I'm saying? I'm not trying to confuse you. I just want you to think. Because in the mind of God, sonship had to have a beginning. It had to be made manifest before sonship, the word or the meaning of the word, could even come into existence. There had to come a situation to where it could be made manifest. So sonship had a beginning in Jesus, but yet the sonship principle was eternal. Same with us. Sister Byers, am I making sense to you? Uh-oh. I'm watching. She's studying real hard. If in being in God, sonship never had a beginning, did it? It was an eternal thought. But in order for that thought to come into being or manifestation, there had to be circumstances that were created where that thought could become expressed, or you could have never had son. The son has to have a beginning. In God's mind, it didn't, even though the word was used, or we used the word. I hope that's not too complicated. To me, it's pretty. Does it make half sense to somebody? So sonship eternal, was in the mind of God all before the world began. Just like the lamb being slain. But it couldn't be slain in a literal form until there was a situation created to where that could become expressed. Make sense? I just want you to get, it's a way of thinking, and it's a way of understanding. When things like that happen, you're thinking, wow, that's so simple. Yet you try to express it to somebody, and it sounds like you're talking double talk. Sounds like you done lost your mind. We do talk another language. We just do. We are different. And if we're all crazy, well, if I'm crazy, we're all crazy. Makes me feel better to include you all in it. Because you've been sitting here listening. Sister Linda, does it make a little sense to you? Okay, let me say it again. Make it simple. God's eternal. Yet the thoughts that God had in that state that he was in before was ever made manifest. They were there with him. They never had a beginning. There was no beginning of his thought. Because he's eternal. Okay, you're getting something good tonight, maybe. So in order for that thought to become something, it wasn't even something as a thought, except a thought. Then God brought it into being. He created circumstances where that thought could be expressed. Then that thought had a beginning. It's beautiful. The thought never had a beginning, but it did have a beginning. When it came from eternal down to the physics or the realm of physics and became expressed, the eternal thought had a beginning. Now you get it? See, I felt that go out. That's good. I felt it go out. Wonderful. Yes, brother. Right, that's what the Trinitarians do say. That I understand that's what you were telling us a while ago. The Trinitarians teach that there are three persons in the Godhead, or that make up the Godhead, and all three of them are co-equal and co-eternal. That's the word that is used in their description of the word Trinity, that the three persons are all in agreement. That's what makes them one. And they're all a God. That kind of rattly type expression begins to get rattlier as you begin to examine it. Because you couldn't have Jesus as a son before he became manifest on the earth if he was eternal, because a son has a beginning. So in the sense that they're saying eternal sonship is impossible, because a son has to have a beginning. Now, in the mind of God, it didn't, because it was just a thought. But in order to be a son, it had to have a beginning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Man, we can talk crazy and enjoy it. Revelation works that way in many instances. That something you see, you couldn't explain it to somebody unless they got into the same mode, way of thinking. It has to be that way because Jesus said it's hidden from all the rest of them. It's not given for them to know it. But it makes perfect sense to me. Perfect sense. All right, so then come at the end. I got to get this finished. So Jesus went back to being God again. Let me finish reading this before I hold it. We're going to have to go home here one of these days. I'm already over time. Do you enjoy talking about these things? You say, that's not necessary to talk about all that stuff. Has it helped anybody this evening? Then maybe you're wrong. Maybe you're dead wrong. See, I know it. you don't know where nothing, just because maybe one person sees it and thinks everybody else got it. I found this out. It's not so. You keep repeating it, and then you find out where the class that's sitting under that, where they're at. And then we learn. Sister Lynn, did you learn something this evening? Was it worth it? Every bit of it. Then that becomes a stepping stone to another step, to another step. Line upon line, precept upon precept. It's building a body. It's building something. You can't go here if you don't get this. It's impossible. Because maybe this is actually the basic concept, the principle of the concept that leads you to a higher understanding of that concept. Does that make sense? See, let me read this. So, said I came from God. He disappeared from the earth by way of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Then Paul met him on the road to Damascus, and he spoke to Paul and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Paul said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. He was a pillar of fire, a blinding light. He had turned back, exactly as he said he would, back to the same form that he was before he took on a tabernacle of flesh. Is that hard to understand? Makes it very simple. I came from being God, and I went back to being God again. It's that simple. All right. That is exactly how that John saw it. John 1 and 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son. The only way you can see God. When he becomes manifest. All right. Now it's speaking in human form. Because they did see God in the form of pillar of fire. In the form of the cloud and so forth. But as a human form. Well, Moses did, in a sense. But they got to handle him in John's time. Said, whom we have handled with our hands. All right. Trying to make this whole cause conflict here. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. Where's the bosom of the Father? What? God don't have a bosom, does he? Your bosom's this area. Actually, a woman carries a baby in her bosom. Her heart and all this area in here is called her bosom. And what is the bosom of God? It's his mind. Because God don't have a form. It's just God through telling us he don't have a form. But he has a place that could be explained or expressed in a sense to explain what's there. Our heart's in our bosom. And the heart of God is what he thinks. Jesus was the heart of God made manifest. The very bosom of God. So he came from God's bosom, the thought processes, went back to being the thought processes, and came back to earth in the thought processes as the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. That was the thought of God expressed on the day of Pentecost, proving who he was. Oh, I love it. I'm not crazy. And if I am, oh, I love it. I love being crazy. Said, no, notice that where John says that Jesus, he is in the bosom of the Father. Went back, came from thought, remember, eternal. Came from eternal to become manifest, to become flesh for a season, to accomplish a certain work. Then he went back to thought again, spirit. You say, spirit is thought. Why is your thoughts his spirit? Your thought ain't your brain. Or there'd be people all over the graveyard out there thinking. Your brain is only the medium or the physical computer that's used by your spirit to contact this outside world through the five senses. Your brain don't do your thinking for you. Your spirit does your thinking. And it has to contact the brain in whatever area of the brain that the spirit is expressing itself to, the brain picks it up and processes it so your tongue can wag. Does anybody kind of see what I'm trying to say? I believe I understand that to some degree. See, your spirit never forgets. They can hypnotize people. These people got familiar spirits. could hypnotize people who's got problems and actually work through the spirit to bypass the brain, in a sense, and go back in the spirit and submit those people to it. They can help those people break habits and stuff. Now they end up getting other ones, but they do work through the spirit. They have a familiar spirit that can contact your spirit. Brother Branham said that now. So hypnotism is not a good thing. They couldn't hypnotize me. They tried hypnotizing my mom when I had a psychiatrist that came out to the house years ago because Dad was trying to get her put in a hospital so she could help with the nervous system. And so they said, well, you've got to, our family doctor referred a psychiatrist. And so he comes out to the house, and so he's talking to her. Oh, you know how crazy the psychiatrists, especially them back, well, they're worse now. Bad. They're loony. Some of them are loony as they can be. And there's a few good ones that's really stayed principled and can counsel you. And they're just nothing but a hybrid counselor. But some of those psychiatrists are kind of mental to start with. They got spiritual forces working on their mind. Anyway, he comes out and starts talking to my mom and asked her, did you pray? And bad as the Obama administration. Asked her what she prayed about. Did she believe that God talked back to her? She said, sure, I believe God answers prayer. Boy, he thought he had something then. So then he started talking. He said, I believe I can help you. So he got out this little thing that had a little trinket on the end of it. And he began waving. He said, now I want you to concentrate on this. And she said, for whatever reason, why? And he said, well, you just concentrate on this. He said, and listen to what I'm saying and concentrate on it. She said, are you trying to hypnotize me? And that's what it is. She said, you can't hypnotize me. She said, I don't believe in it. Boy, he really did get wild then. But anyway, coming back to our thought like that, your brain is not your mind. If it was so, when a person laying on a morgue slab up there, they'd be in their right mind. God's mind is his bosom. There's a point that we're trying to work to get across this evening. We understand that. Jesus came from the bosom of God, thought to become flesh, manifested, went back into the bosom of God. Came back on the day of Pentecost. Same Jesus. He came back under a name. Son of God, Jesus, Son of God, firstborn name. He came back and he had to stay on the altar, spiritually speaking, symbolic form. He has to stay on the altar, and there's only one way to approach that altar is through that name. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So that name, not just the five letters of it, we understand the name is Jesus walking amongst the seven golden candlestick through seven church ages. Everything that he was in the first age plus what he was in the second on until the seventh age when the combination of everything that he is became manifest through the name Jesus. Hello? So it's a lot more than just a name. It's the fullness of the Godhead that's in the content of a name. If I just say Jesus, that's not who he really is. He's this, the revelation of this. That's who Jesus is today. He's the message. He is those seals. Got it? Hope it just begins to fit for you. Do you love him? We're going to have to close up. I've gone over time to stand this evening, and we'll hit this again. I love it. Our service is getting so good.